Well, I want to welcome everyone to Lawton, Oklahoma, to our Pentecost services. And we're very happy to see you all here with us and enjoying the day with us. And we look to try to make it as encouraging and as helpful and we can possibly make it, hopefully. And everything will go well. And God is blessing these days because they're His days. And being Pentecost, we're going to have lots of Pentecost messages, but I'm one that usually goes off on a tangent a little bit, so we'll start off a little bit of a tangent this morning. And I'll start off with Matthew 16:2. And, you know, they were asking Christ for a sign. And these were religious leaders, people who studied the scriptures. Their entire lives could recite them from memory and things like that. But they weren't seeing what was happening. And he answered him and said to him, When it is evening, and he say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And then in the morning it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. One of the problems is the absence of that Holy Spirit. It really is. The law has been written in our hearts, and God is revealing things to us that wasn't revealed to others. And He's told us that when He was giving parables and these things. We really don't appreciate the situation we're in. Because we've been called out of the world to be part of His work. And if you start looking at the numbers, it's not even a tithe. It's not even a tenth. The people that are being called out to the work is very, very small. And, you know, it's like Jesus was looking out at the fields and He says, they're ripe for the harvest. Pray that they bring workers, laborers to the harvest. We have a job. And that job is in the future. And what we have now is our faith and our walk and to convert ourselves into being like Christ. Because we're going to be working with Him. And it shouldn't be something like He's going to have to bark orders at every person and tell them exactly what they're going to do. We should all know what needs to be done just by the fact that we're there. And we've been spent our entire lives preparing for this. So when Christ was up on the Mount of Olives, and this is Matthew 24:3. Now as He sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciple came to Him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And this is what He was having this, you know, going toe-to-toe with the religious leaders. They didn't see the fact that He was standing there. They were talking to their Creator. Their God was standing there talking to Him, and they were clueless. They actually hated Him. But He's saying, you know, we have these signs, these things that are going to show that we're progressing to this point. And Jesus answered and said to Him, take heed that no one deceives you. That's the very first words out of His mouth. Take heed that no one deceives you. And that is the thing I wish to talk about right now, because in my entire life, from when I was a child to now, and I'm especially all of you that are, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old, you've all seen it. You've seen the shift in what has happened to our country from the time you were a little child to today. You see the change in the morality. You see the change in the attitudes. You see the churches empty. The only churches that are full with people are ones that do entertainment. Most people are glued to the tube, you know. They have no idea what's going on in the world, but the thing is, those are all signs. We can see it. We can see the change happening in the whole world. I mean, we can talk about the United States, but this is going on in Europe. It's going on in Britain. I mean, it's turmoil going on everywhere. And it seems like the turmoil is getting more. You know, I tell people our lives go from one war to another. That's our mile markers. Our mile markers that we talk about our nation. World War I, World War II, Korea, you know, Afghanistan. I mean, that's pretty poor mile markers if you ask me. But, you know, he's going to stop us making war when he returns. But all these things are showing, you know, we're off on this bad course. He told us we were going there. And he says in Matthew 24:5, he says, many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. And we have definitely seen that. Once you know the truth and you start looking around, you realize that the deception is pretty much everywhere. And we've even had to deal with, I mean, the church itself has to deal with deception even within it. The deception is everywhere. It has to be dealt with all the time. Because the devil's with us. That's just fact of life. So when you go down to 1 John 2:18, John is writing and he says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. I mean, this happened right as soon as the church started. The antichrist started. These people started, you know, teaching deceptions right at the very beginning. I don't think the church is more than a year old. There was already things starting to, you know, develop. Probably was developing even before the church. See, so John's saying, they went out from us. So they were from their group, their church. But they were not of us, for had they been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they may be made manifest, that none of them were of us. Now, if you're not following the Holy Spirit, if you're not really part of God's chosen, you're going to get pushed out of the church one way or another. That's divine work there. That's the, you know, God working. I have not written you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. And then he goes to say in 1 John 4:1, he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so we have God's word written in our hearts. And his word is the light that we can see the truth, because his word is the light on us. And this Holy Spirit that's in us is guiding us, but it's also the thing that's helping us overcome deception. And we have to be careful now, because the deception is getting ready to explode big time. We have artificial intelligence, which they are building out like crazy. And like everything else we create, we don't know what the problems are going to be until after we've done it. All right? We do not know what the problems will be from this until it happens. That's just the way it is. And they're so gung-ho. Well, they're gung-ho. And in the process, you know, they're building this artificial intelligence. I'm going like, well, what are we using artificial intelligence for? And what do I see on the internet? I see a meme of President Trump in a Mexican mariachi outfit singing in Mexican about the Iranian problem. And the problem was that I had with this whole thing when I was watching, and I had J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio were his backup singers now. But the problem was with this, I was watching it, and they got his lips to move exactly the way they're supposed to speak Mexican, to sing in Mexican. If you didn't know, because that video was so ridiculous, if it wasn't for the fact that video was ridiculous, you would have never known that was generated by AI. You think it was some kind of crazy skit they'd done or something. You couldn't see it. You couldn't detect it. And that's the whole thing. We're starting to have the equipment, the ability to deceive even much greater than we've ever had before. The deception is just going to get ridiculous. And the internet and television and all that is going to feed it to you by the buckets. And the thing is, it's like right now they're talking about AI is generating more content on the internet than human beings. All right? So now we're getting ready to turn loose a monster that's going to start generating all kinds of information. The other part of the problem with the information, which they can't seem to worry or figure out, is all the knowledge that AI has is from the internet. All right? All the people who work on the internet all the time will tell you that the internet is full of slop. It's full of garbage. So your knowledge base, and the big part of it's garbage while this is going on. So there's, you know, and so you can ask AI for different things, but you may get answers that you may not care for, and who knows where it's going to go in all this data that they're mashing at one time. Anyways, I'm trying to prepare where I left off. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are God, little children. You have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So we have the Father and the Son in us. That should give you a lot of confidence, really. It should give you a whole bunch of confidence. "They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them." And that's, you know, we see that all the time. We got all kinds of things now where, you know, they trade all kinds of information, and you got social media and everything else, and it's all about, usually most of it's vanity, you know, about 99.9% of it's vanity. "We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us." Okay, that you should understand that, you know, God's drawing people into the church, and if they don't understand, if it just flies over their head, they have no interest, God's not drawing them. You know, these people out here are evangelizing and you know, on your doorstep handing out stuff, and people don't even want it, you know. The thing is that God is drawing who he wants. So they come because he's drawing them. Wherever you ended up. I mean, I was in the Church of God International when I started. And it just so happens that that was there, and I was guided into that and was baptized there. Then it kind of fell apart, and I ended up over here at United. The thing is that this process, even what's going on in the church, it's a process of sorting it all out until you get down to this class of people that God has called out, that he's claiming to himself. So we are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that's the whole thing. We have to stick strictly to the spirit of truth. And, you know, that's what Jesus told us. We have to worship in spirit and in truth. I think that was the first thing that might have brought to the point that God actually put his hand on me. Because at the time, I wanted the truth. I wanted to know exactly what the truth was. And not only did I want to know what the truth was, but I wanted God to expose the truth. Because there's all kinds of lies in this world and in very high places of power. And I prayed for God to expose this, expose the evil. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing this exposure. And Jesus went on to say in Matthew 24:6, he says, you know, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, you know, when it comes to wars and rumors of wars, you know, 72 years of that for me, and I'm sure, you know, like I said, miles, these are mile markers, wars. And then he comes down, he says in 24:7, he says, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places." We've lived through it. We've seen it. And then he goes to the 24 aces. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And things are getting more perilous. And we understand, I'm not sure if everybody here understands, but the power that it talks about in Revelation is in Europe. And so right now, the United States is big number one cheapy weefy of the whole world. You know, we're the police of the entire planet and everything else. The thing is, we're not going to be there. The shift in power is coming. The United States is going to lose its place. And Britain's going to lose its place. There'll be a big power shift. Not only that, but more than likely, there's going to be something very catastrophic in the financial system, something that's going to cause the big power shift, the big change in the world and the way things go. And there's so many things that can cause this. This is pure speculation, but we know that the power of the beast is going to be in Europe, not here, right? We are the big, you know, the big dog in the block, and we're not going to be that. So one of these days, this power, all this is going to shift. But why? Why are we having a big shift in power? You know, we've all known from forever that this country has been blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. You can't even count the blessings. It's not even fathomable. And the Lord said in Deuteronomy 28:12, he says, you know, if you obey me, he says, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. We gave it away for a while. And the Lord will make you head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not beneath, and you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left, where other gods are serving. Now, you've seen what's been going on in this country. It's like us pushing the lesbian and gay rights on other nations that don't want it. I mean, our government is actually pushing sin, promoting it, all right? So our government is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, and it's definitely not making God happy. So what happens when you read down to Deuteronomy 28:15? It says, but if it shall come to pass, you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, and observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then it goes, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Well, I really don't have to go into much explanation on that. You see it on the news. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of the flocks. Cursed shall be you be when you come in, and cursed shall be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, rebuke, and all you set your hand because of the wickedness of your doings, in which you have forsaken me. And the Lord will make the plague cling to you like until he has consumed you from the land which you're going to possess. He'll strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with sword, with scorching, with mildew. They shall pursue you till you perish. And your heavens, which you are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth and you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust, and from heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. And the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. The power shift's coming. There's going to be a big change in the world. And, of course, we're in the middle of it because we're number one. And then when you go back to Matthew 24:11, he says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And, of course, we know the false prophet of Revelation. But the deception is going on right now. And we have all these different Christian churches, and they have all kinds of different traditions, and in the most part, none of it's in the Bible. But, I mean, they fight against each other and, you know, say these are going to hell and, you know, we're the only ones in heaven or whatever. You know, there's all this fussing going on between churches. But the thing is, these deceptions that went into the church, have been in the church so long, they are tradition and they're held. These deceptions are held just like tradition of the elders. Jesus fought with them over the traditions of the elders. Well, guess what? The churches today have their traditions, and they have their elders, and you can go to libraries and see big, long bunch of books to explain to you what's in the one book. You know, all these many words to tell you what's in that one book that basically is in English, and you can read it, you know. But, I mean, this is unlimited libraries of all kinds of people telling you what the Bible tells you, or what the Bible is supposedly telling you, right? Their version. And then the other thing, he comes in at Matthew 24:12. He says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And lawlessness is everywhere. Lawlessness is in the church. Lawlessness is in the law, legal system. Lawlessness is just everywhere. And then it gets down, he says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And that is where we have to actually resist the deception and not be led astray, not be taught all kinds of weird concepts and things like that. But I can tell you right now, you know, it's written in the Bible that Isaiah talking about truth fails us. Truth is just not out there. It's you know, it's fallen in the streets. It's this one. What do they call it? They have all kinds of nice words for lies nowadays. They got more words, you know, more names for lies than anything I can think of, pretty much. But, you know, it's, different talking points and everything else they come up with. So I'm seeing this shift coming. And the thing is, it's all because of the people. You can say what you want to. I mean, we can say, oh, the government is corrupt. But that government represents us. And those people got up there by people electing them. And you can say what you want to. But them crazy people up in Washington, nut jobs, they represent nut jobs, all right? They're true representation of our citizenry. So looking at what the government's doing right now pretty much should tell you exactly where we're going and what they're promoting and everything else. And God's not going to allow us to succeed with this, especially since we were a nation that at one time claimed the Lord, our God, was the God of our nation. And you can't say that anymore. I mean, there's people trying to say we're still a Christian nation, but it's pretty poor. It's, you know, and it's not so much claiming to be Christian, it's whether or not you obey. It's whether or not you obey God's word. Anybody can call themselves a Christian, but do you obey? Do you do what God tells you to do? And the other thing is, and it always aggravates me too, is the religious people who will quickly condemn someone and religious people who are going to go to war. And I tell them, the only person going to war is Christ himself and the heavenly armies. If you go to war, all you're doing is it's vanity. It's just your idea of what you think you're going to do. And you know, it's a failed concept. These people are going to kill each other until Christ has to intervene to stop it. Because he flat told us if he didn't stop it, we'd kill all of ourselves. We'd just destroy ourselves completely. And when you look at Genesis 1, you kind of wonder, because you look at Genesis and it just says the earth was void. Well, that word in there said could be said become void. Because I can't see God making an earth that was void. It had to have been, you know, if he created it, it had to have been perfect and good. And all of a sudden it was void and destroyed. And I think there was a time when this earth was something beautiful and it had to be remade because of the destruction that came before. Because all this destructive tendency is from a spirit of destruction. Like the great destroyer that's in the pit that's going to be released. The death angels. There's evil spirits. And the evil spirits push evil into the humankind and they start performing evil and doing evil things. But when I was reading, you know, in the Bible, and I remember coming across this in Revelation 22:10, and I got to thinking about today, right now, 2026. It seems like the churches of people who really believe in Christ and the Word are dwindling. They're getting smaller. Even a little mainstream Baptist church or a little church out in the country, and you had these little old folks, and they came, and they had their Sunday services, and they believed in the Bible, and they believed in the Ten Commandments. They believed what Jesus said. They might eat some bacon and things like that, you know, because they decided that, you know, this was good to go because someone told them that when the sheep come down from heaven, God was saying, oh, you can eat anything now. And they didn't read what God said. God said, don't call any man common or unclean, you know. They take words and come up with their own thing. But the thing is, in their heart, they want to please God. And those people who want to please God seem to be dwindling. Dwindling all over. I don't care if it's a Sabbath-keeping church, Sunday church. The only churches that are filling up right now are churches with entertainment. You got a big band and a show and all that. They fill up, but they're not there teaching the truth. They're just putting on a show and making money. And that's the other thing. You know, religion has always been tax-free, and, you know, and that's been a lot of motivation for a lot of religion is people making money, you know, to make money off of it. But when I was reading in Revelation 22:10, and I was thinking about today, thinking about this time, and in 22:10, the angel talking to John, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And then he says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And I'm like, have we reached this point? Are we at this point where everything's kind of set, you know, where the church is not growing? And it tells us in the Bible that we're going to lose our ability, our power. It's, you know, the beast is going to actually defeat the saints, you know, in the future. So you see the power going out, you know, of the church. The churches are dwindling. The Word of God is not, well, I should say the truth is not going out. There's people out there preaching. But it just made me think, here we are at this point, and an angel is telling him, he says, if you're righteous, let him be righteous. And if he's holy, let him be holy. But he acts like, you know, like nothing's going to change. It's just going to stay that way. Anyways, it goes to Revelation 22:12. It says, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Jesus said, you love me, do my commandments. That is your love towards God, is to obey. That is your love. Your Father in heaven wants you to obey. And he wants you to obey for your good, for things to go good for you. But he says, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. And there's your bottom line right there, the lie, because you know who the father of lies is. So if it's lying going on, it ain't God talking to you or inspiring it. That's not where lies come from at all. So if there's lies going on, it's not coming from God. And it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. God wants us to live and be with him. And he who testifies of these things say, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.